Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray that what is said here today, the worship that is done here today, will touch us all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, I told the pastor one time on one of these short-noticed fill-ins for him that don't worry about it, because if nothing else, we'll do a question and answer period. He said, well, they could ask some pretty rough questions. I said, look, I'm dumb but not stupid. I would ask the questions, but we will not get there. The pastor's title of his sermon was to be Rejoice. And if I had a title for this, I think it would be The Wounded Healer. If God had decided to come down as a warrior and clean house, take care of this rebelling, sinful world, would be about what we expected. Or if he had set up a throne of judgment to mete out whatever punishment everyone needed, had deserved, that would be what we would have expected. Or if he had come in a way to just scare the daylights out of us and make us change our ways, that's kind of what we would expect of a all-powerful God. But that's not what he did. We know what he did. Bill was reading about what he did. He came as a little baby and was laid in a manger in a stable in quietness and helplessness. What an awesome God that's the way he would come to enter this world. The book of John tells us that through Moses came the law. Through Jesus Christ came grace and truth. And Paul relates to us in Philippians and in Corinthians that Jesus humbled himself so that we could become mighty. And that Jesus became poor so that we could have become rich. Jesus Christ, as God, came to this earth in a quiet, helpless way. He came so that we could get home. That's home with a capital letter, or we could say heaven. With radical freedom, infectious joy, and sustaining faithfulness to him. God uses wounded healers many times, not despite the wound, but in many cases because of the wound. And a case in point is a young man named Zach Van Dyke. Several years ago, Zach had graduated from high school, from a Christian high school, and had been named at his school Christian of the Year. Now, of course, he was proud of that. But he wasn't proud of the fact that his girlfriend, Kelly, agreed to babysit during the summer for the three boys of their favorite teacher. The teacher had three sons. One was a teenager who didn't need any babysitting. He stayed at a friend's house all the time. The other one was a very close to teen, preteen. So the only thing he wanted to do was play video games. So Kelly and Zach really were babysitting one little boy, a three-year-old bundle of life. And Zach said that everything little Jesse did, the little three-year-old, was extreme. He loved to play trucks, but the way he played trucks was to just bash them all together. And he came out with sore fingers every day he was playing with him. One day he was playing trucks with Jesse, and he heard Kelly saying something on the phone that was contrary to what he thought. And he said, you know, I never missed a chance to express my own thoughts and my own opinions of what was right to let her know. So I got up and went in the other room to set her straight on what she was saying. He said, as soon as he walked in that room, he got a feeling of dread. He turned around, went back in the room where Jesse was. There was nothing there but turned over trucks. He and Kelly went out front hollering for Jesse, looking for him. When they got in the back, they found him. He was floating face down in the swimming pool. In the aftermath of that tragedy, Zach kept thinking, Christian of the Year, he said, why would God let this happen to someone who loves him? Kelly and Zach, neither one wanted to go to the funeral, but they felt they had to. Zach said that he could not cry because he was too angry and too numb during the service. There were 1,200 people at that service celebrating the life of little Jesse. At the end of the service, when the family got up to leave, they walked by where Kelly and Zach were sitting. They pulled them out of their seats, didn't hug them, they embraced them in front of 1,200 mourners. A few months later, I hope I can do all this right here. A few months later, the mother wrote Zach a letter. And it's fairly lengthy. I would never try to paraphrase this, and I might not get through reading it. I wasn't supposed to be doing all this, but I want to read this letter to you. Dear Zachary, I have missed you as you have been away at college. I hope you're enjoying Florida State. I know you're having a hard time. I am too. I have a love-hate relationship in my life. I love the sweet things, Sam, Daniel, okay, even Mr. Taylor, but I hate my thinking. I think about Jesse all the time. I feel his hand in mine, such soft skin and his breath on my cheek. I can still hear his voice telling me he loves me. This is hard, Zach. My heart is broken, but you didn't break it. I struggle with tears constantly, but they are tears of sorrow and longing. I long to hold my little boy in my arms. I long to hear him tell me he loves me. I long to see his smile. None of which I will ever have again in this body. My heart aches constantly. How does one cope with such a loss? I pray. There is some comfort. If God took all the pain away, would I grow as much? I don't think so. Do I want to grow this way? Yes. No. Yes. And in parentheses, know what I mean? Please know from the first second, the very first second, God filled me with compassion for you and Kelly. I'm a vile sinner, Zach. Corruption lives in me, yet the love of Christ dwells there also. In this, I can be totally transparent, truthful, and sincere. I love and care for you. I have so much mercy for you and Kelly. God has allowed me no ill feelings toward either one of you, not one. We could all, if only ourselves to death. It does no good. It changes nothing. You and I are much alike in that we both take life head on. We like to fix things. Like you, I have prayed in the past for God to do whatever it takes to make me more dependent upon Him and to know Christ more fully. I never thought He would choose to work this way in my life, but He did. The greatest tragedy in all of this could yet come to pass if one of us moves away from our Heavenly Father. God is still in control, Zach. He is still God. Jesse's days were numbered from the beginning. There is purpose in this. I will continue to pray that you will stay close to God. I know He has big plans for you. You are a very special young man. I love you, Vicki. That was 12 years ago. Zach and Kelly have now been married 10 years, and they have 3 children of their own. And Zach is a youth pastor in the church he grew up in. His assistant in the youth activities is a young man named Daniel, who was the teenager of that family. And he and Vicki, the mother, worked together on the worship committee. And he said that she told him in recent days that when she used to want to, the first person to see when she got to heaven was Jesse. But she said she had grown in her faith through the years enough that she now wanted to see Jesus Christ first. God does use wounded healers to carry out His mission and His words. The holidays have not been kind to Pastor Montgomery and Ann and the whole Montgomery family. In 2007, at Easter time, a grandson died, Robin's son. On Christmas Day of that same year, 2007, Grant's sister Margaret died. Last year, in 2010, a great-granddaughter, young girl, was killed in an automobile accident during the Christmas season. This year, the granddaughter-in-law died of heart failure at Christmas time. But the Montgomerys maintain joy, grace, mercy, and love. They know that God is in all, and that God and Jesus Christ will carry them through. They have consoled many during the years, and they do need consolation at times themselves. A number of years ago, in a small Midwestern town, they were having their annual Christmas pageant. And one of the children that was wanted to be in that pageant was Wally Perling. Wally was 9 years old. He was big. He was awkward. He was slow in mind and body. At nine, he was in the second grade, where he should have been in the fourth. But Wally was compassionate. He looked out for all the smaller kids. He made sure that they were treated right. When the casting was done for this Christmas pageant, the lady doing the casting decided that Wally should be the innkeeper. One, she said that because he was so big, it would be give more force when he turned away Mary and Joseph. And the other was he had few lines and it didn't want to risk Wally learning more lines than he could. On the night of the pageant, when they got to that part when Mary and Joseph came to the inn door, they knocked on the door, and Wally opened it and standing there big and looming over the couple that were playing Mary and Joseph. And Joseph said to Wally, "We seek lodging. Seek it elsewhere. This inn is filled. Sir, we have looked everywhere in vain," said Joseph. "We have traveled far and are very weary. There is no room in this inn for you," Wally said forcefully. "Please, Mr. Innkeeper, my wife Mary is heavy with child. And she needs a place to rest. Surely you have at least a corner where she can lay down." At that point, Wally's resolve kind of started evaporating. And he was looking down at Mary. And a prompter on the side gave him his lines, "No, be gone." And after a big, long pause, he did get out, "No." And then an even longer pause, and then he said, "Be gone." So Mary and Joseph started moving away. Mary with her head on Joseph's shoulder, and Joseph had put his arm around Mary. And as they moved away, Wally said, "No, Joseph, bring Mary back here." And then he said, started smiling and said, "You can have my room." Many people, or most people that were at that pageant, said it was the most Christmas of any Christmas pageant they'd ever seen. God does work through his Christmas message, through life, with the wounded, with the downtrodden. We just have to look for his way to do what we need to do. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, go with us today. And may we continue to look to you in all that we do, all that we say. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.